We are on a journey in Lent to examine ourselves and look at parts of our lives, our personalities, our priorities, all those things, and kind of hold them up in front of us and look at them and try to figure out, is this what God wants me to do? Is this where God is leading me to, how God is leading me to live? All those kinds of things. It's a wonderful experience of Lent. And of course, Lent is almost over. Easter is just a couple weeks away, and that's the official end of all of that. Today I want to talk to you about something, though, that is very personal to you, and that is lying. I know, there's a terrible shortage of truth in our society. For some people, lying just seems to come naturally. There was a little girl who was given a St. Bernard dog for her birthday, and she went out and she told all the neighbors that her parents had given her a lion for her birthday. Her mom pulled her aside and said, "Look, you know, we've talked about you lying, and why are you lying to the neighbors and telling them that you have a lion? I want you to go upstairs, and I want you to pray to God and tell God that you're sorry that you've been lying about your dog." And she said, "Okay." She went up into her room, and she came down a few minutes later, and she said, "Okay, well, did you go up and talk to God? Did you tell God that you're sorry?" And the little girl said, "Yes, I did. And God said, sometimes it's hard to tell my dog from a lion, too." A lie, according to a dictionary, is an intentionally false statement. A lie is a string of words deliberately designed to murder the truth. A lie is one of the most powerful things that we can do because in the ears of the listener, it changes reality. And most of us have probably been hurt by lies at some time in our lives. In his book, Why Do Smart People Do Dumb Things?, Dr. Mortimer Feinberg discusses the fall of Richard Nixon from the presidency. And he believes that if the president had come clean with the American public before the election, he would not have been forced to resign. Basically, it was the cover-up, it was the lie, not the break-in that broke Nixon. And the same can be said about Bill Clinton. It wasn't so much that he was doing what he was doing that got people so upset. As bad as it was the lying about it, that covering it up, that was really making and made people mad. Jesus warned us in Scripture, "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known," Matthew 10. Our text claims a classic character quality of a Christian is honesty. And in our text we read, "Do not lie to each other where you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator." Do not lie to each other. Truth telling is a simple, clear, and strategically important moral value for every person who takes the name of Christian. Now, few would argue that there is a growing desperate need for truth in our society. Cover-up and stonewalling and distortions in the media, misleading, labeling and packaging, shady business deals, scandal, it all seems to be the norm. You have read, if any of you have read M. Scott Peck's book, The People of the Lie, he says that we live in a society that encourages us to wear a mask to hide our true identities. And sometimes we do that for so long, we forget that it's a mask. We live in a world of pretense in which appearances count for everything, a world in which fear of truth colors how we live. But the ninth commandment, which says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," calls us to be people of the truth and truth about ourselves. Bearing false witness is more than about lying and not lying. It has a deeper meaning concerning how we present ourselves, whether ourselves testify to what is true and what is real and what is accurate. It's about being truthful with others and ourselves, because in knowing the hard truth about ourselves, we can then hear the deeper truth of the gospel. We're called to tell the truth. We are to be people who keep our promises. We are also to be people who treat a neighbor like we would like to be treated, people who see how God treats us and then feel free and called to be who He made us to be. God's covenant with us, His forgiveness of us, His grace in our lives calls us to something much higher. When we really see it, we're brought into a new understanding. Knowing this need for truth Let's look at it just a little bit. First, why the commandment, don't lie to each other. Jesus associates lying with the devil himself. Speaking to the Pharisees who were accusing Jesus of lying, Jesus said, "You belong to your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." John 8. Some would question the people skills of Jesus in this instant from then as now. Is it politically correct to talk about the devil? Yet Jesus didn't seem to have any problem associating lying with the devil, with the forces of evil. What's interesting is that lying has become such a norm for so many people. We have made peace with a certain amount of dishonesty in our lives. And we forget that Jesus said all lying, all of it, is associated with evil. This calling to be honest, to be tellers of the truth, is strategically important for our own personal peace and joy, as well as for the very future of our society as we know it. People need models that underscore this truth. We don't have to lie to survive in our culture. We don't. I saw a crazy movie entitled Liar, Liar. Do you remember? It's been quite a while. It was really great. But the plot is around an attorney who, because of a birthday wish of his son, cannot tell a lie. For a whole day, he cannot tell a lie. And all the different lies, it was hilarious to see ourselves portrayed in terms of this many kinds of lies that we tell almost unconsciously and have come to accept as the norm without feeling any shame. A part of the dialogue in this movie happens when the leading character desperately tries to convince his son, "Please, I want you to unwish this birthday wish," with claiming, "I can't survive in my job if I have to tell the truth." Unfortunately, in the real world, many do believe that lying is necessary for personal survival because the system is crooked. And without being crooked, one can't compete. And so lying becomes the acceptable norm. Billy Joel laments in one of his songs, "Honesty is such a lonely world, everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard, but mostly what I need from you. I can find a lover, I can find a friend, but what I want is sincerity until the bitter end." The Bible talks about the great harm that lying does to us in Proverbs 15. "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." A deceitful tongue, the words of a liar, crush the spirit of the one who is lied about and the one who hears the lies. The one who is lied about has their name dragged down, while the one who hears the lies is both misled and then the truth is revealed, loses their trust in the words of others. Lies crush people. There is no two ways about it. Consider what lying is doing to us at the society level. Daniel Levine did a poll of 3,000 high school juniors and seniors who were at the top of their class. These are the smart kids. These are the ones who breeze through the SATs and such. 89% admitted to cheating. 89%. And it was common in their schools. He commented that numbers are alarming, but the attitude is worse. Cheating was accepted as a way of life. USA Today reported a study revealing 48% of workers admit to unethical and illegal acts. I quote, "The study shows that violations are so rampant that if you aren't stealing company property, leaking company secrets, or lying to customers or supervisors, odds are the worker next to you is." Cynicism about the integrity of our government leaders has become a national disease and has trickled down to the point where many distrust the media, attorneys, ministers, doctors, babysitters, almost everybody else. Project this disease into the future and we realize why Jesus commands us to tell the truth. The survival of our society as we know it depends on trust. We can't survive without trust, and trust can't happen without real honesty. As a rule of thumb, those who lie, those who distort the truth, eventually get found out. The liar becomes trapped by two things. Not only are they trapped by the consequences of their lies when they are found out, but they're also trapped by the tremendous effort involved in seeking to cover up their lies before they are found out. Covering up for your lies can be a horrible burden. Four school students turned up late to class one day. They just barely missed the exam that was there for that particular unit. And so when they sat down, they told the teacher that they'd had a problem with their car. They had a flat tire, made them late for class. And the teacher looked at them and kind of thought, all right, well, let's see what we can do. I can't give you the same test. I'll have to give you another one. It wouldn't be fair to the other students. And so I want you each to go to a different corner of the room, and I'm only going to ask you one question. And they all looked at each other like, yeah, we won this one. This is great. And the professor, as they sat down, said, okay, which tire? Yeah. Eventually, lying wreaks havoc on the heart of the one who lies. Without telling the truth, we can't draw the line between sane and insane, noble and base, beautiful and hideous. Without telling the truth, we are unable to make moral judgments, set boundaries between right and wrong, good and bad. Jesus said eventually all secrets are going to be exposed. No one permanently gets away with lying. Somewhere down deep, the liar knows that it what is true, and consequently lives with chronic anxiety. The Bible says God will not be mocked. What we sow, we will reap. It's a no-brainer to understand that truth-telling is a precious experience and essential calling for all of us as Christians. This leads to a second truth implied in our text. As believers, we are called to be part of God's plan to heal the disease of dishonesty. Our text says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Christians are called to do more than lament the lack of truth today. We are called to be catalysts for restoring truth, at least in our personal worlds. One reason we don't trust others is that deep down, we really don't trust ourselves. The Bible commands us not to lie because we are God's children, called to grow into the character and the likeness of Jesus Christ. We are called to be proactive in our desire for honesty, to seek to become increasingly straight in our personal and business activities, and impeccably honest in our personal conversations regarding the culture around us. Remember, as with all Christian growth, becoming honest is a journey. The text says we are being renewed into the likeness of Christ, implying that we are on this journey. So think about our potential for impacting our community for good. Change always begins with a few people, yet we know that purging our lives of dishonesty in every form is a huge, if not impossible, challenge. But try not to tell a lie for one day. But God never gives us a mandate that He does not provide power to accomplish. Our hope, one hope for the downward drift of honesty in our daily world happens when enough of us are followers of Christ, committing ourselves to being tellers of the truth. It's interesting to reflect on the spiritual decay in public discourse. Recently, I was listening to some old-time radio, and there were some comedians who were talking about, they were there, all ages were there, and some of them were doing comedy way back in the late 30s and 40s, and they commented on how in those days you couldn't use certain language, that if you walked out on the stage, there was always a sign there to tell you to watch your language. Don't use certain words. You remember when that dam broke? What was it? Oh, yeah, it's the word damn. And I don't, you know, in Gone with the Wind. What was the line? Scarlet? Yeah. Can't believe you all said that. Okay. But they said if we wanted to continue working, we would rebel against that ethic. Well, a similar spirit of decay in personal and public honesty seems to be occurring in our time as well. We're just giving up on it. However, the good news is that change for the better can begin with a few and accelerate. Public ethics can change. When we Christians demonstrate that following Jesus does create a person capable of being honest, no matter the cost, the behavior will have an impact. In the early church, it was honesty of Christians that made them appear as lights in a decadent environment, making the Christian faith attractive. And I believe we have a similar potential today that will bring great honor to Jesus. So where will we start? As we go out into the world to face another week, let me suggest some possible responses to this mandate as we do our best to tell the truth. First, we begin to catch ourselves in those little white lies, you know, the little half-truths and stories we tell for expediency. White lies, they're almost habitual for so many of us, like an involuntary reaction without thinking. Keep a record for one day of the white lies that you catch yourself telling. It will be very informative and probably a little embarrassing. If you are brave, when you catch yourself in a lie, confess it immediately to the person saying, "Look, I'm in the process of a spiritual journey to get over my habit of stretching the truth. Please forgive me." And second, we can confess and turn from any behavior pattern in our personal lives that is hidden, a secret that, if known, would harm the reputation of Jesus and would hurt others. And third, we can confess and turn from our behavior in our business and professional world that is dishonest or questionable. It might include things that are legal but are not ethical. Now, I know some of you are thinking right now, what's coming up next month on the 15th? Do I need to say anything? Yeah. Such honesty could cost us money, but the reward for our inward peace will be beyond any price tag. And then fourth, practice some senseless random act of honesty. I was at a restaurant recently with some people, and when the waitress came and brought the bill and all that, the host realized that there was a $20 mistake in our favor. And he called the waitress over and said, "Look, here's a problem. We need to straighten it out." And I know that some of the people that were around us and the waitress probably said, "What makes that guy tick?" I mean, honesty in little things speaks to our calling to be children of God. I haven't given up hope that change is possible in our culture. Obviously, it's time to place honesty as one of our personal core values as we grow into the likeness of Jesus. And it's really true that if we sacrifice honesty for any reason, we've paid too high a price. Let us pray. Our Father, we are people on a journey, and this is one of the tough ones. One of the tough places is to tell the truth, because we've become so comfortable with lies. Not only lies that we tell to others, but lies that we tell to ourselves. "Oh, it's okay. It'll be all right, just this once." So many things, and all of us struggle with it. There's not one of us in this room that can claim to be clean. And yet, on this journey of Lent, it's an opportunity for us to do something different, to embrace that which is true, to trust that in telling the truth, we are doing the right thing, the Christ thing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for that. Amen.